time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We're so glad that you tuned in. We have an interview for you today. You are going to dive into this interview. But before we get into that, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is Closer, Lord, to You. It's from my CD entitled True Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
Let me touch you. Oh, Lord. I wanna know your love.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. This show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries from their website. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org. And you'll get all the information that you need. Well, let's jump into our interview for today. We have Dana Johnston joining us. Dana is actually a friend of a friend, right? That's how we can say it. Yes. So my college roommate, Chastity Bass, had her, we're going to stick with the 28th, we'll just say, she had her 28th birthday party. In December, and Dana was there, and Dana gave her testimony. And honestly, I told Dana this. I was like, I want to hear more. So I reached out to Dana, and she was like, yeah, I'll share more about my testimony on your radio show. So welcome, Dana.
Thank you.
So Dana has five kids, and she's been married since 2012, second marriage.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, Dana, I just want you to just jump right into your testimony.
Okay. Thank you so much, by the way. When you called, I thought, man, what did I say that caught her attention? Because sometimes my memory nowadays is a little, we'll just say slightly off. So I was flattered, first of all.
Well, thank you. Thank you for
and,
being here.
And I did remember you also. So that was fun. And we'll just thank Chastity for getting us together.
Yes.
So mostly what you had mentioned that you remembered was some of how I deal with living with chronic illness. Hmm. So I met my second husband back in 2012, and we got married pretty quick. And we got married in October of 2012. And within about a month, I started running a fever. Hmm. And we thought, well, we'll go to the doctor. And we thought it was the flu or strep or something like that. I just felt crummy. And we thought, we'll just feel better soon, right? No big deal. The doctor, with all the stress and even excitement is stress, right? Mm-hmm, so we were excited. Right. We were blending our families together. Mm-hmm. We had done all the things you're supposed to do. And you'll feel better soon is what mm-hmm, I got. Mm-hmm. And some, you know, advice and such. And over time, the fever did not go away. 6 months later, I still had a fever.
Hmm.
And I had no insurance. We had decided to wait a school year because he worked for a school district mm-hmm. to get insurance, which was obviously a poor decision on our part. But I was very healthy when we met, right. and I was running my own business and had not had insurance on my own. And from all that, basically, over the years, over the past several years, I have gone, and we found out that I had mono at that time. Hmm. It took several doctor visits to mm-hmm. find out that I had mono. Upon trying to recover from that, apparently mono and the virus and all the things wrong with your body, mm-hmm. you can trigger other viruses in your body. And I have been diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and then all those things come with all the things that come with
it.
Just all the fun.
Hmm.
And so throughout the last few years and over that time, what happens, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one, which is why I came today, mm-hmm. is to help others,
yes.
not because I feel like getting up and getting mm-hmm. dressed and coming here today, mm-hmm. is the grief that comes with it. Mm. I went from a very active person and living a very full life and mm-hmm. very excited about my new life to finding out that my life was going to be very different and having several doctors say, you're not going to get better.
Hmm.
And I was sad.
Yeah.
I was a very productive person, very active and very, you know, whatever normal means.
Mm-hmm.
I was normal
mm-hmm.
and having fun. And it was very hard for me to swallow the fact that people kept saying to me that this wasn't going to improve. Not only was it not going to improve, but a lot of those things get worse.
Hmm.
And then the medications that come with it and trying to treat it. And I kept thinking, surely there's one pill I'm going to take.
Right.
This is all going to go away.
Yes, yes.
And no one was saying that. And I kept doing all the praying and the going to people and frankly going to God and saying, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. This is going to get better, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't getting better. So then the depression and the emotional part came along, and I think that's a lot of what I talked about at Chastity's party. Yes. So life switches from the goals and the plans that I had made for myself, my kids, and my family to how do you live with this? Mm-hmm. And it's very different from what I planned. When I grew up, I'm going to be this, and that's never what I wrote down in a book.
Right.
It's never what I planned. It's never what I wrote essays about in school. So I didn't have any plans for this. So life switches, and you find different things to read, different things to believe. And I grew up believing in healing, believing in God, believing in these things, and I was crushed. Because every day I woke up and I wasn't healed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't better. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going away.
Mm-hmm.
So life became very different. And as I go through this journey, I'm finding more and more people, their spirits are crushed. They're sad. But also, I'm finding that God's promises are all still true.
Mm-hmm.
That he's still with me. He's still walking this journey with me.
Yes.
And that even though my physical body is not what I thought it should be or what I thought this life was going to be,
mm-hmm.
he's still holding out all his other promises. Mm-hmm. He's taking care of my kids. He's taking care of my family. He's taking care of things that I would not have noticed if I was still holding on to all the control mm-hmm. of my life.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I want to make sure that others realize from whatever stage they're at in life or whatever disappointments they've come into, it's not always illness.
Mm-hmm.
It might be some other form of grief, because I think grief was the hardest part of this for me. It is not the pain.
Yeah.
It's not the illness. It's the grief.
Mm.
Is that...
And the grief that that life has changed so much.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I mean, I've lost a lot of what I thought life was.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I've seen God is taking care of so many things that I don't think I would have noticed if I didn't sit still.
Hmm.
So one of the biggest things I've learned is to be still and know that he is God.
Yeah.
And I wasn't noticing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he did it as a punishment.
Right,
I'm not saying that at all.
Right, right.
I just think that sometimes we think we're controlling our life.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't controlling it.
Yeah.
I never was.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not controlling it now.
Yes.
And there's so many things that my kids are accomplishing that they're doing. My family's getting through financially, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
I physically can't do it. I emotionally can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So by me noticing that and giving God the praise for it, there's so much that's coming out of it. So there's so much testimony and so much light in a dark situation.
Yes, yes.
But you have to find it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
So it's readjusted my focus. So it's all about perspective.
Yeah.
And I know I sound positive. I want to start this whole thing out by saying every day it's not like this.
I'm sure.
I mean, I don't wake up every day being the most joyful person. Because if you come into my house, my kids will tell you, you know, it's not always like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the effort is strong.
Yes.
It's so strong.
Yes. Yeah.
And
you know, the thing I remembered about you so much, the thing that I was thinking, I got to hear more about this, because you struck me as such an intentional person. It's like, since you're traveling this road in life, like, you're like, I must be intentional about a couple of things. And these are the things that, like, I intentionally decide to do. And I'm sure that what you just said, like being still to notice what God is doing, we all need that.
Yes.
Wherever you are in life, we all need to make sure that we remind ourselves to do that. We're so busy. We're so, you know, running to this and that. I'm the worst at that. I'm the worst at that, you know.
You're not the worst.
I think probably I'm the worst.
Yes.
But sitting still and noticing what God is doing. I love that you say the Lord is taking care of my family. And I'm not It's not because I'm so busy. It's because God is so good.
Yes. Yes.
He's so good. In the midst of everything.
Yes.
And you could easily decide another way. I mean, you could easily decide, you know, life is way too difficult. I'm going to be bitter. I mean, is there any draw
to bitterness?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
I fight it every day. That's why I said I don't want you to think, because there's some people that might just shut down right now and think, oh, she's so positive. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult not to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it was in February. Don't know if he's listening, but my doctor, and I love him, and I've been through to count for this show, I counted. I've been through 18 doctors because I learned recently that I don't have to stick to one.
Mm-hmm.
If they aren't interested anymore, they're tired, I can go to another one.
Mm-hmm.
But this recent doctor of mine, that I love him, but in February he looked me in the face because I came in and said, I'm unusually tired. I just want some labs done.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked me in the face and said, do you need me to read off your diagnoses again? You are going to be tired. You're going to be tired. You're sick. And he would do nothing for me. He sent me home. I sat in the car and cried. I couldn't even drive my car. So, yeah, there's days that I think I can't do this again. So, no, I don't want anyone listening to think, oh, she's so positive. I couldn't be like that. But then you have to take a thought of what might tomorrow bring. If I can just answer the phone for someone who's going through it, if I can make someone laugh, if I can make a joke, if I can just do something for someone else, if you can turn it around and do something for someone else, you've done something in honor of what he's done for us. Because just like today, I'm not doing it for me.
Yes, yes.
And he'll work it out.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it is. But no, I don't know. I don't know how to make it. I don't want to be inappropriate, but no, it's not always positive.
Yes, yes, yes.
And my poor kids, and they probably see it the most, and my husband, you know, the family gets the brunt of it.
Right.
But luckily,
right.
we have time to balance it out. They get all the love and all the bad stuff. But it's just worth it.
Yes.
It's just worth it all. And I'm very honest. I'm just a very honest person. But the being still part is just so that we can see what he can do without us taking charge. And I want to say I am, but I was a control freak. I'm trying to let that go a little. But when you get sick, I mean, you can't control everything.
Right, right. Right.
Yes.
Life has just changed.
It is different. Yes. Yeah. And it's not just the list of things I have. I mean, there's lots of things that people have that change their lives.
Right. Yeah. Right. 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 So what does every day look like? Does every day feels different? Every day you have to wake up and see what I feel today? Or is it you have like a routine?
Yeah. I would love to have a routine. But yes. I miss routine. But yes, there are,
You have to see
what
the
really
day brings.
What I really want to tell you and other people is about the spoon theory. And I don't know if you've ever heard this.
No.
But this helps people understand. And let me make sure I say her name right. So the lady that wrote about the spoon theory. So I give my friends spoons and I give my family spoons. Her name was Christine Mizrondino.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
Okay.
Bless you if I'm saying your name wrong. But she wrote The Spoon Theory, and she was in college, and I want to say she had lupus. So she explained to her friend that she every day gets one set of spoons, and they were in college, and she had a best friend, and she was trying really hard to understand. And she said everyone else in life that's quote-unquote normal has unlimited spoons to their day. They can just grab spoons and use them for whatever. But if you and I were comparing each other, as in physically healthy, I would ask you, like, do you get up and take a shower? Sure, right? So you would get a spoon for that. I only have 12 spoons. You might have unlimited spoons for the day. If I brush my teeth and take a shower, that's a decision to use two spoons. If I want to make breakfast for my kids, that's another spoon. Or I can choose to skip those things and come do this radio show today and maybe use a spoon for that.
Right.
And make my kids make their own breakfast.
Right.
later today, my kid's graduating, so I've got to save spoons for that. Mm-hmm. And then someone's going to want to take her out to dinner, mm-hmm. so I've got to save spoons for that.
Right.
So I've got to count my spoons for the day. When I run out, there's a wall that I hit, mm-hmm. and I have to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And it's different than I need a nap or I just want to rest. It's laying there in pain. Mm-hmm. It might not be a complete rest or mm-hmm. nap, but it's, you know, my body is physically aching. Mm-hmm. It's not a restful nap. It's not blissful. It's
yes.
not
mm-hmm.
it's mm-hmm. not always great, mm-hmm. but it's a wall that I hit and I can no longer go despite what needs to happen. I have missed several life events that have put me in tears, and mm-hmm. then the tears cause headaches, and then mm-hmm. the headaches cause mm-hmm. other things, and mm-hmm. the medications cause side effects, and then it's one thing after another, and then those spoons run into other days that I have to take spoons for. So I have 12 spoons a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can have.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained that so well. It's, and you can Google it. It's called the spoon theory,
okay.
and I have used that with so many friends. Mm-hmm. And so different friends will call me and say, can you save a spoon for me next week? Can you come eat lunch with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, yeah, we can try that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the day before I had a kid get sick, I had to use a spoon from the
mm-hmm.
next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of spoons.
Can't make it.
Mm-hmm. I can't mm-hmm. do it.
Yes.
Or I'll save up a bunch of spoons and go on a girls' trip. But then the next week I don't have any spoons left because mm-hmm. I used them all.
Right.
And it's such an easy way to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet other people think, wow, that's very limiting,
mm-hmm.
and it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just some days where I skip a shower so that I can get other things done.
Right.
And then there's some days I take a shower and wash my hair and shave my legs mm-hmm. and, you know, that's and blow dry my hair. That's four spoons right there before it's even
right,
8 a.m.
Right, right. And you are so beautiful.
You're so sweet.
So I'm counting, like, how many spoons today
to
already.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're so sweet. Yes.
Yeah. So it really is. And but I'm thinking that theory, is that a theory that you have to, it's kind of like you have to accept that.
Absolutely.
Like, I've got to accept that I have 12 spoons.
Well, you don't have to accept it, but you can come crashing down if you don't.
Right. You can try to move past it, but yes. Okay. Okay.
I see.
I see. Yeah. I mean that is a eye-opening for me.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, there's weeks that we have emergencies. You know,
mm-hmm.
several years ago, my mom was ill, and I needed to go help. But
mm-hmm.
by the time we got through her passing away and everything, and we came home,
mm-hmm.
I was in the emergency room the next week.
Hmm.
I mean, there's just, sometimes you do get through things, but the wall that comes up after that,
it's
detrimental.
Right. And then there has to be a massive recovery.
Yes, ma'am.
Period.
Yes, ma'am.
So do you have, I can imagine that you have friends that reach out to you because you have a completely different understanding of life, and people need your understanding and they need your perspective, I guess.
Yes, ma'am.
To help them. So I would like to dive into that because I think that was the thing, just your intentionality to life and your perspective was eye-catching to me. Like it just rang true with me. And I thought I need to talk to Dana. I need to know more of her story. Like I need to understand because I'm sure there are people in my life that maybe are dealing with different issues and different things,
yes.
and maybe I'm not understanding they've got 12 spoons.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so this is really helping me and helping me to grow while prayerfully we're helping, you know, so many who are listening. So I know we need to take a break. We need to take a pause. So let's take a pause, and we will be right back in just a minute.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration.
Every heart,
now let's get
every
back to the
woman.
Show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I am Carla Nivens. I am your host. And we are having a real, true, eye-opening conversation with Dana Johnston. Eye-opening for me. Like, I'm learning so much. So, Dana, I want to jump back into where we are. And I was talking about friends and your friends that probably want to reach out to you. And I know that last week you said you made a decision to go and be with a friend who invited
yes.
you.
Yes.
And invited you to the beach, actually.
Yes. Yes. And yeah. I haven't been near the ocean in almost 3 years. And going away, leaving my family for a whole week, with this many kids and kind of feeling like as a mom and even sick or healthy.
Right.
When you leave your family for that amount of time, you're dumping some responsibilities.
Yes.
Yes. And she had called and said she was working somewhere down by the ocean, and she offered to let me come stay simply because she knows that I've been ill and she wanted to do something to help. And knowing, even though it's relaxing, getting there, getting back, packing, and doing all these things is still coming at a price. And she happened to have heard me say to someone that it may have even been you in a text or someone else, that it was at a high price, but it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And she still asked me about that because of what I had said. And I think she meant financially, and she had paid for it.
Right, right.
And so I explained to her that it's a high price just because of what I pay physically for when I come back. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm there totally reconnecting spiritually with her for fun, because she's my high school buddy.
Right.
We've stayed connected all these years. And girl trips are just fun anyway.
Right, right.
But it all just comes at a price physically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect anyone to understand that hasn't been sick.
Mm-hmm.
It is just so difficult. But when I come home, I still need to recover. But this week, I didn't have a lot of time to recover because it was a busy week. It was the last week of school.
Mm-hmm.
May is a busy time for moms.
Right, right.
Teachers, education world.
Yes.
But I did it anyway. And I chose to. So I'm not putting that on anyone. I chose to because I love the ocean. So you do pick your passions. You pick your spoons.
Right.
And I did it. And I love it. And I'm excited about it. And I prayed over it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the desire of my heart.
Yes.
And he says he'll give us the desires of our heart if we pray. And I did pretty well. And I'm excited about that. But she helped take care of me. And she asked a lot of questions that week. I told her I had talked to you. And I asked what she would be interested in finding out about how, and she was interested in how she could help. And I think a lot of people are interested in how you can help.
Right.
And unfortunately, there isn't always something you can do, but the hardest thing to do is ask for help. And it's funny because the sicker I am, the more I want to help people. And I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can.
Mm-hmm.
There are things I can do, and I'm finding out tiny ways to help people, but I can't do what I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I have a desire for it, sometimes the harder my inner battle is. I want to get out and help everyone.
Right.
And if anyone has a cold, an illness, even if, you know, their kid's throwing up that day, I just want to go help you because I understand it so much more than I did before, which is why God lets us go through trials. And I think the biggest thing I want to tell people about having friends that are ill is if you want to help or do something, just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing for us to do is to ask for help when we know or we doubt that we can pay you back. Financially, it usually becomes a hardship. Physically, we're strapped.
Right.
We're given it all in a day.
Right.
And we feel like we need to pay you back. The world is scratch your back, I'll scratch your back.
Right,
it's
right.
It's hardly ever, I'll just go take care of you all the time and you give me nothing.
Right, right, right.
But that's where we often are. And I don't know when I can pay you back. So then you have to go on the pay it forward method.
Right.
Maybe there's something I can do for someone else.
Right.
But if it's on your heart, maybe God put it there.
Mm-hmm.
Just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet it's going to hit a soft spot. Right. I bet it's right.
Right, right.
So that's right. the biggest thing yeah. that friends can do. But yeah, yeah. I've just developed such a soft spot, and that's God. That's mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that.
Yeah, yeah. I like that you said that you brought up the desires of our heart. I think
yes.
that a lot of times we probably ignore the desires of our heart. We may put work in front of that, or we may put just all of the things that we need to get done
sure,
yes. because we think that we're in control, and we think that if we don't do these things,
yes,
yes that our life isn't going to go well. But when God places something in you, and I call it, for me, I feel like I just wrestle with things. Like
yes.
it kind of just wrestles with me, and,
yes.
you know, it's just in my heart, and it won't leave me alone for a minute. I have learned, but I had to, you know, we have to learn that. We have to tell ourselves, you have permission to think about that thought that you're having. See what it is you want to do for somebody and do it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and do it. I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and two of the young boys of the dad that passed, they talked. They gave some stories about oh. their dad and,
oh.
yeah, about their time together. And honestly, I just saw the two of them, and I thought, for some reason, I don't know, they're sticking in my head. I was just, you know, kind of wrestling with it. Then I decided, I think that when I think of these two boys, I think I'm supposed to pray for them.
Yes.
And so I walked away with that. Then, like probably the very next day, a friend of mine who had also, her father passed when she was young, she said, you know, there are days when I'm still dealing with some things, you know, that stem from my dad leaving the earth when I was so young.
Oh.
And I told her, I said, you just explained to me why I wrestled with that so much.
Yes.
Because the boys are young. They're teenagers. And so there are going to be some things that they are going to face. And I don't know them. You know, I was just at the funeral. I don't know them. But I had to, you know, say, okay, that really was God. He was
yes.
saying, don't forget these boys. Pray for them. There's going to be some things, even in their 20s and 30s.
Absolutely.
You know, that they're going to have to deal with. And they need someone, you know, praying for them.
Right.
So just little things like that, you know, it doesn't even have to be that you do something grand. You know, of course, prayer accomplishes so much, but,
yes.
you know, just gives yourself permission to think about things and think about what you might do for people. And don't ignore those little things that you wrestle with, I
right,
think.
Right.
In life.
And there's people that aren't close to me that often say, all I feel like I can do is pray.
Just pray. That's huge.
Yes, please. You
yes.
can do that.
Yes.
I will accept that because
yeah.
I will never. I have a scripture verse in here that I hold on to hope.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I haven't been healed yet doesn't mean I won't be.
Right. Right.
I'm not giving up on that.
Right.
I
Amen.
Won't.
Amen.
Even though that doctor stared me in the face and said, you're sick. You're not getting better.
Hmm.
I'm not running any more labs. That's fine. I understand that you
mm-hmm.
believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give up on it.
Right.
It might
right.
not even be here on earth,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay too,
mm-hmm.
but it might be.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So if you want to pray for me
yes.
and you can't ever bring me flowers or dinner,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to turn that down.
Right, right,
never
right.
Never will.
Right,
yes.
right.
Or
yeah.
my kids, because
right.
they live a different life
mm-hmm.
than some kids.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or my husband, bless his heart,
yeah.
who cares for me
He's
day
so
and
sweet.
Night. Yes.
He's so sweet. I can tell. I just met him today. Before the radio show, but he has such a sweet, sweet, sweet spirit.
He's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And so this, because this all happened, how many years were you all married?
We were married a month when I started
month.
Running fever. Not quite a month when I started running
mm-hmm,
fever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we joke around. I say I'm his pound puppy. You know, you go to the pound, and if you get a dog that has kennel cough, you can take him back. I always say, thanks for not taking me back, honey. But tell me God didn't know.
Right,
I mean,
right, right.
He knew.
Right, right.
Because
right.
if it had been a month later, he might have reconsidered that, that whole thing. What's up on this gig?
I know he's probably saying,
love
you all
Richie.
Stop talking about me like that.
He's going to storm in the doors.
Right, right, right.
That's so funny. But no, he's so sweet. He wouldn't think about taking you back.
No, no, no. He can't now. He signed papers.
Exactly. To have become one already.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted you to share is that at Chastity's 28th birthday party, she's going to love that we given her 28. Well, I stayed 28, so since she and I are roommates from college, we both have to be in this together. So at her 28th birthday party, you shared an exercise with us, and I thought it was very intentional. Can you share that with us today?
Yes, that takes a whole nother road. We'll talk about this some other time.
Okay.
But through this, I had to rediscover who I was in my own religious journey. You could say I had to wrestle with religion versus spiritual.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So basically, why wasn't I being healed? If I believed in healing, why wasn't I being healed?
Mm-hmm.
So I read a book called Post-Traumatic Church Syndrome by Reba Riley. And I wanted to make sure I was okay with God. I mean, are we okay? Because I'm still sick. And I'm okay, by the way. I'm okay with God.
It
checked out.
Yes.
But in there, she talks about not judging the judgers. Not being mad at the people that went away, the people that aren't there anymore.
Yes.
A lot of friends have gone away. A lot of friends don't deal with it. They consider it negativity. I'm not always positive. I'm not always fun to be around anymore. And so instead of being negative about those people, consider it we all have a place in the world. There there is a place for these people. And she calls God the Godiverse because other religions don't necessarily call him God, the God that we believe in. And she considers that everyone has a place in this environment or this spirituality. And she's very accepting of all of it. And I really loved her book. I really love Reba Riley. But in that, she says we're all like a disco ball. It takes all those pieces of the disco ball, the top, the bottom, all the pieces all around, and they all shine just as bright.
Right.
We all are just as bright. Each one of us. Every one of us is human. What we all go through makes us shine just as bright.
Right.
And I really, really loved it. And I bought everyone at that birthday little disco balls to hang up. And I wanted everyone to see that our visions are all different. Because she talked about vision at her birthday party.
Yes.
Having a vision. Our visions are all different. We're all going different places. My vision to get through each day is just perseverance. That has changed so much than just a few years ago. My visions were so different. Now it's just getting through the day with a positive attitude.
Right.
It seems so small to some people. It is so large to me now.
Right.
So those little disco balls and all those little shiny pieces are all the people. Some people we don't always see, or we thought we were better than them. We're not. They all make up part of the world, and God created them all. So we need to be accepting of them all. And that is not always easy.
Right.
It's not. And if we're honest people, we don't always do that. So I gave everyone a disco ball to hang up and focus on that every day and be accepting of everyone's going a different place. Everyone's looking at a different vision. And not necessarily tolerant of their behaviors. I'm not saying that. But to love and be kind.
Yes.
Because that's what they see. That's what makes a difference. That's what's going to get them to look at your perspective. And I wrote in here to open your heart before you open your mouth, because that's something I've had to learn to do. And so that's what I look at when I see the disco ball. We're just all little shiny pieces.
Right. So everybody's traveling a journey.
Absolutely.
And everybody, and I like to say that everybody, you know, everybody's getting better. Maybe today isn't my best day.
Right.
But
yes.
Give me some grace today, and you know, I'm traveling, I'm getting better, and tomorrow, you know, I'll do better than I did today.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I like that. So open your heart, and you know what? And I think, you know, you bring up that some people have left. That some people don't understand. Some people maybe can't take the step to, and what this is called is empathy. Cannot take the step to empathize. They cannot step into your shoes as much as they can, and see life from your perspective. So they've chosen to put some distance. And I like that you did the disco ball, that you gave us all a disco ball, and to represent everyone that the Lord created, and to make sure that we take that step to try to empathize, to try to understand what people are going through, to try to hear people's stories, to try not to judge on people's stories, but understand and, you know, and take it in and say, okay, I'm learning something new. This is helping me grow and opening my eyes to something that I may not have had to deal with. But now that you're in my life and you're a friend of mine, I want to walk this road with you, however that looks.
Right.
You know?
It's so important.
Yes. Yeah.
I used to teach school, and that's where the always handing out paperwork or something
yes,
came in.
Yes. A manipulative.
Yes. There you go. My brain slips. Yes.
Yeah. So when you were teaching school, first, because I used to teach school too, what grades did you teach?
I taught fourth and fifth grade.
Okay.
My last years were in fifth grade.
Okay. In fifth grade.
Years ago. It's been since 2006.
Okay. So when you were teaching, so this happened in 2012. So you weren't teaching when...
I was going to be a stay-at-home mom for a while and then go back.
Okay.
I haven't been back.
The Lord changed the whole thing.
Again, what I was going to be when I grow up.
Yes.
I'm not in control. Things we find out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we all need to... I like to challenge myself and put myself in situations because it helps me grow to get in places where I understand that I'm not in control. One of my huge passions is mission trips, and I talk about it all the time. So everybody that listens to the show knows that already. But in mission trips, you really kind of put your everyday life aside for a week or 2 weeks, however long it is, a month.
Yeah.
And you go and you kind of like submit yourself to the process, and you don't know what the process is going to be.
Right. Talk about faith.
Yes. Yeah. And you just take it day by day and you try to minister to people that are in front of you as best as you can, even when you're tired or, you know, sweaty if you're out somewhere remote, which we usually are. But the biggest thing I learned when I come away from that is that God is huge. I mean, you know, he is so in control and I am not. And I'm very thankful that I know that. And I'm very thankful that the Lord is watching and covering us all.
Yes.
I mean, we just need it.
Yeah.
We just need it. So I wanted to ask you one more question. I don't know. It's escaping me. But I wanted to talk about, I remember you were saying that you have the desire to, like, you have a growing desire to do things for people. So, but you have your spoons for the day. So how do you manage that?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I have thought about blogging.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought about doing videos,
which
means I have to get up and put on makeup.
Right,
so
I'm more
about writing.
Right.
I haven't conquered that yet.
Okay.
I'm still thinking about it. I like to write. It hurts to type. But there's been a lot of, I don't want to say defeat, but I haven't conquered it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do so much.
Yeah.
There's so many, I want to be this, I want to be that.
Right.
I want to do so much.
Yeah.
I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
I have my own business. I sell Mary Kay. It's very part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Not very. It's part-time. There's just, I don't know if you call it ambition, desire. I just still have drive. I think that's why I can't give up on the fact that there still might be healing
right.
out there.
Right.
Because I can't kill the desires. So every day I just get up and I do the best I can and I let the rest go. Because
yes.
There are things I let go all the time.
Yes.
And I'm okay with it now.
Mm-hmm.
I used to not be okay with it.
Right.
And there's just things I let go and think, it's okay.
Right. And so, well, the thing I'm thinking is that I want to truly, you know, like, thank you for deciding to do this this radio show.
Because like today I couldn't have planned this. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that I think this is helping people.
Yes.
And I didn't plan this.
Yes.
So of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like we said, that the Lord gives us those desires and we have to, you know, continue to pay attention to them. And I mean, honestly, when we were at Chastity's 28th birthday party, you were so inspirational to me.
You're so sweet.
You were just so inspirational to me. And I just kept thinking about it. And I thought, you know, because this is a way to have your story touch other women's lives and other people's lives and other families' lives and things like that, so that and maybe it's not a blog that you have to type out, or
right. Maybe
you know,
it's not even in my head.
Yes,
all the
yes.
thoughts I'm having,
yes.
maybe they're not even there. And we keep joking about her being 28. I'm going to tell you, Mary Kay always says not to tell your age, because if you'll tell your age, you'll tell anything.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm 45, and I will tell anything, because I just am so open and honest.
Mm-hmm.
I so much want, if I can help one person
yes.
get through the day,
yes.
I will.
Yes.
And I keep thinking, several times this week, I said to my husband, it's not that I don't want to go meet Carla or help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just tired.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to be honest, several times a day, I say, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go do it.
And then you do it.
I do
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Not with everything. Sometimes
yes.
I say I don't
yes.
want to do it, and then
yes.
I don't do it. But
yes.
I just get so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's so frustrating. But
yeah.
with this, I knew I was coming.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing I can do to reach people.
Yes.
This was never in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought, oh, I'll do this and maybe it'll help people.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, God put this here and I'm doing it.
Yes, yes.
So
yeah. Well, I thank
I'm
you.
Just going to turn it over. And
yeah.
I'm going to say a prayer. And if it helps one person, fine. And if someone needs to reach out to me and I can help them or message them or
yes.
talk to them or
yes.
pray over them, I'll do it.
Amen.
I'm
yeah.
not the most spiritual. I'm not the most righteous. I'm not perfect. But if I can help you get through the day, I will do that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, none of us are. But
right.
I also want you to share your scripture, because I know
okay.
that there is scripture that you say to yourself, and scripture is so powerful and it's so life-giving. It is God. It is the word of God.
Absolutely.
So, yes, yeah, share your scripture with us.
Okay. Well, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. So hope is what I hold on to.
Yes.
Day and night, mostly
yes.
nights when they're long.
Yes.
The hope.
Yes.
Hebrews 6:18-19, I hold on to God's promises with this one. It's impossible for God to lie.
Hmm.
So we have this hope for an anchor for our souls. So again, with the hope, I often just put in hope and just look up hope scriptures.
Yes, yes.
For healing.
Yes.
And Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Those are a few that I hold
Amen.
On to.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Dana, for being here today. And thank
yeah.
you for being honest with
You're
us and open with us.
I can't help it.
Yeah, no. We have learned so much. So everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Go to their website, loveministriesbills.org. You can also go to our website, ehewradio.com. You can follow us on social media at ehewradio. And also, you can catch up on all of our past radio shows on our podcast. Everyone, my name is Carla Nivens. I will see you back here next week. Have a wonderful week.
Every heart, every woman.